And welcome to the Steel Sanctuary podcast. I'm your host, David Barrow from steelsanctuary.com. And with us once again is Tony Pauline, our go-to draft expert from Sports Keeter. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. Anytime. You got Steelers Twitter going yesterday with your report on Graham Barton. I'd love to talk to him about that a little bit. What are your thoughts? Why do you think the Steelers are interested? By the way, I should mention before you even go, they had him in for a visit today. A pre-draft visit, so that even strengthens your point even more.
And I didn't even know that. Now, you know, I think what happens is all too often people take things out of context. What I said is that people in the league believe that the Steelers are going to use that first pick on an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman, cornerback, they think it's going to be an offensive lineman. And the speculation was, this is not inside information that I had from the Steelers, but the speculation was, it would be Graham Barton because Barton, was an accomplished tackle at Duke who projects to center at the next level. And the Steelers need both. Now, I'm not in total agreement with that because I don't know that Barton's going to be able to stay at tackle on Sunday. And the projection to center, projection to center is exactly that. It's a projection. He's never played center at Duke. But that is the way people feel. And the fact is, I can say this unequivocally, Barton has gotten a lot of mid-first round conversation literally since January. When I was talking to people about Jackson Powers Johnson, who I like a lot, they would talk about Jackson Powers Johnson, said, keep an eye on Graham Barton. Keep an eye on Graham Barton. So there has been a momentum for Graham Barton, building to go into that middle part of round one. Whether it's with the Steelers or not, I don't know. But the Barton to the Steelers was speculation from someone who told me that all the signs from the Steelers are they'll take an offensive lineman with that first pick.
Yeah, it seems very likely they're going to take a lineman. They've had a ton in between tackles and centers. If they don't take Barton, who's your next guy out? You like Jackson Powers Johnson a lot.
I do. I mean, there are some teams have run hot and cold on him. I do like Jackson Powers Johnson a lot. I mean, he was an accomplished guard at Oregon in 2022, made the seamless transition to offensive center this year, was terrific at offensive center, went to the Senior Bowl with an injury, and then dominated the first day of practice. Most guys will bail on the Senior Bowl if they're injured. Jackson Powers Johnson played while injured at the Senior Bowl. And he dominated the first day of practice, was a little bit off on the second day, didn't practice the third day because of the injury. You know, I think he's a terrific lineman who really took hold of the center position. Like I said, I mean, from a personality point of view, teams are hot and cold on Jackson Powers Johnson.
I get it. I've heard it. After Zach Frazier, who seems to be the third or second center, depending on where you put Barton, it seems to be a little bit of a drop off there. We've had a lot of conversations on my podcast about after Frazier, it gets a little thin. What are your thoughts on like Van Pran or some of the other guys after that?
You could say after Zach Frazier, it drops off a cliff. I mean, because you got Jackson Powers Johnson and Graham Barton that are going to be first round picks. Zach Frazier, who fits in probably in the middle of day two. I mean, I like Egubakan from Florida, even though I just butchered his name. a mobile guy with nice size as well as, a growth potential. Van Pran is solid. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. Probably a fourth-round pick. Bordolini tested off the charts.
I saw that.
At the combine. Bordolini's a real good zone-blocking center. But when you watch the film, he was a guy who really struggled against power. He would get pushed around on the inside. He's got that nice length at 6'4 and a half, 303 pounds. He's just going to have to get stronger. I think with Jackson Powers Johnson, Graham Barton, and Zach Frazier, you've got guys that could potentially be, if not day one starters, they'll be starting in the first month or two into their rookie season. With the rest of the guys, Bordolini and Epicon from Florida specifically, those are guys who are going to need a lot of development in their game. Van Pran is what he is. I mean, he's solid. He's not great. He's never going to be a dominant player. One guy who's getting a lot of momentum, he's going to be a day three guy, but he's getting a lot of momentum, building a lot of momentum, is Hunter Norzad out of
Penn State.
Out of Penn State, who actually started his career at Cornell. And, you know, he's got decent size, not the greatest athlete in the world, but a real thinking man center, what you want at the position. Someone who has it going on between the ears, a former Cornell player, so he's smart, as you would think he was. He really was the centerpiece of what was a terrific offensive line at Penn State. And he's the guy who, again, you're talking day three, but there are a lot of teams like him, and he seems to be building some momentum for himself.
Okay, what about Mason McCormick, now South Dakota State? He projects as a center as well in the NFL. Do you like him as well?
Well, I have him on my guard board. I mean, there may be some teams that project him as a center. I have him as a guard, and he's a terrific guard. I mean, he's a big masher at the guard position. You watch him; he moves very well. 6'2", 309 pounds, ran well at the combine, and he is just a nasty interior offensive lineman who looks to bury opponents and usually does that.
That sounds very interesting and right what the Steelers would need.
Exactly.
Let's flip to tackle, because that's another position of need for the Steelers. They've had a few guys in, like Mims, Futanu, and Fuaga. Who's your favorite out of that, not second-tier group, but that, you know, late first-round group? A lot of us like Amarius Mims a lot.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, Mims and Futanu are two different types of players. Futanu's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of real good football at left tackle for Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was in the national championship game last year. He moves very well. He's very athletic. The question for Futanu at 6'3 and a half is he a tackle or is he a guard? You know, what position are you going to play him at? I do like Mims a lot. Mims hasn't played a lot of football. I believe he started, what, 8 games at Georgia? When he was on the field, he was terrific. I mean, he's a big power blocker who moves relatively well, who tested well, so you know he has the athleticism if you want to move him in space. He needs to polish his pass rushing skills. But I think that would be a terrific pick for the Steelers, because you put him at right tackle, and then you move Broderick Jones back to his natural spot at left tackle, and you have bookend tackles for a long, long time moving forward.
Yeah, that would be ideal, I think, for the Steelers. J.C. Latham, does he make it to 20, or is he gone by then?
I have him making it to 20. I mean, he's a terrific right tackle prospect, solely a right tackle prospect. I love the mechanics and the fundamentals he plays with. Obviously, I love his power, you know, the way he uses his hands. The little things are there for J.C. Latham. What concerns me is the size, 342 pounds. I don't think he even attempted to run or test at the combine or pro day. I got the pro day sheets. I have to take a look at it off the top of my head. And, you know, he was 342 at the combine. His playing weight was probably closer to 355, 360 pounds.
Wow.
And while you can do that on Saturday, it's a tougher thing to do on Sunday. And I'm probably being a little bit hypocritical, because Amarius Mims is 340 pounds, but Amarius Mims is also 6'7" and a half. Jason Latham is 2 inches shorter. You know, you saw Evan Neal, who was an early pick of the Giants a couple of years ago.
That's a good point.
A lot of these bigger Alabama offensive linemen who dominate on Sunday, a lot of them have struggled in the NFL, and that is my concern with J.C. Latham. He could go, or he could go before Amarius Mims. But again, let's see what happens over the next 2 to 3 years.
All right, let's flip to wide receiver. The Steelers have spent a lot of time on wide receivers. They had quite a few in for draft visits. At 20, do you see A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas making it to 20?
I think both could be there. If one isn't, I mean, it depends on what Jacksonville does. I could see Jacksonville taking the Brian Thomas. One of them will very likely be there. Slight shot, both of them are there.
They've done a lot of work on round two, more slot guys. Like, they had Ladd McConkey in. They had Malachi Corley, Ricky Pearsall. What's your favorite of that group?
Well, it'd be Ladd McConkey, but he's not going to last to the Steelers in round two. I mean, Ladd McConkey is a guy who is a receiver who has a first-round grade, who's going to go in the early part of round two. I mean, he's terrific. He gets it mentally. He's a very smart football player. He's a great route runner. He's got reliable hands. Then he goes to the combine and he runs runs a 4.4 much faster than anybody expected. So you know he's got the speed and you know he's got the athleticism. Corley, there are a lot of teams that love Corley, not only for his receiving skills, but his ability as a return specialist. I have him as a late third rounder. He could go earlier. Ricky Pearsall is the guy to watch. Ricky Pearsall, as I reported at sportskeeda.com about a week and a half ago, is probably the fastest rising receiver in the draft right now. A lot of teams project him as an early second round pick. He is sort of your Ladd McConkey a la the Florida Gators, but he's bigger than Ladd McConkey in that McConkey's 5'11 and a half. Pearsall was 6'1. McConkey was 186. Pearsall was 189. And Pearsall ran a 4.41, slightly slower, 1/100th of a second slower than McConkey. But that's a lot faster, excuse me, than people thought, because people expected the Pearsall to be a mid-4.5 guy.
Mm-hmm. One last guy for the wide receivers. The Steelers had Xavier Leggett in from South Carolina. Kind of a bigger guy. Still ran fast, though, right, in the 4.3s. What are your thoughts on him?
4.39. He's a super fast guy. He's a great athlete. He's got sort of a funky body for a receiver position. 6'1", 221 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a poor route runner, but he's better in a straight line. And he's really has to polish his game, you know, being able to make left-hand turn or right-hand turns without losing a lot of momentum. Catches the ball relatively well. I think he's a work in progress. I think when you look at Leggett, when you compare him to the Pearsalls, the Devontae Walkers of North Carolina, the Jalen Polks, you can say Leggett, based on his size and his athleticism, has got more upside, but it's going to be a while before – it's going to take more time before he's NFL ready, and there's more downside risk. There's more questions there with him.
Yep, I agree. Let's flip to corners. The Steelers definitely have a need at corner. They've had a couple guys in. My favorite's Cooper DeJean. I don't know how you feel about him. Some people say he might be a safety. What do you think about Cooper DeJean to start out?
I'm not a Cooper DeJean fan.
I'm
of the mind thought process that he's better off at safety. I mean, he's got excellent size. He's athletic. But when you really watch the film, I think he's more of an opportunistic cornerback than a cornerback that's got outstanding ball skills. The Quinton Mitchells, the Terrion Arnolds of the world, even the Kool-Aid McHistories, those guys have great ball skills. Cooper DeJean deserves credit, but I think it's more he's opportunistic. He also brings that element of return specialist, which is very attractive to teams, which I think could push him into the late part of round one. I think what's going to happen with Cooper DeJean is teams are going to start him at cornerback to see if he can play cornerback, and if he can't, they'll kick him inside to a safety. When I watch him, he's just a little bit too stiff, and he doesn't have the pure cornerback skills of some of the top guys at the position in this year's draft, which is why I like him at safety. I have him on my cornerback board, but I think eventually he's going to be inside at safety.
A lot of people have said that. Nate Wiggins, the Steelers had him, and he's really light, but a really good cover guy. What are your thoughts on Nate Wiggins? 185, I think he weighed in.
He was 173 at the combine, and he was like 180 at his pro day.
At his pro day, yeah.
But his what his true playing weight is. I mean, Wiggins is fast and he's feisty, and it's ironic because before I hopped on this call with you, I was talking with somebody, and we were reiterating what we had both heard, and we both heard the same thing: is a lot of people don't think Nate Wiggins is going to last very long in the NFL. That a lot of people don't think he just has what it takes. You know, I know he ran a 4.28 at the pro day, which is an exceptional time. But you watch his film and he does a lot of chasing down the field. You know, he's playing behind receivers because he's slow in his transition. He's slow following opponents off the line, opposing receivers off the line in his transition. And that can lead to ruin on Sunday.
Steelers have done quite a bit of work on some slot corner types too. I know Max Melton could probably do both. Mike Sainstrill from Michigan and Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. What are your thoughts on those three guys?
Well, if you read my article yesterday, in fact, it was in the article that I talked about the Steelers, potentially going offensive line and the Graham Barton piece. I also talked at length about Sainstrill yesterday. And the fact is there are some people who think he could go early part of round two. What I said about Sainstrill in the article is He had the best pro day, or some people believe he had the best pro day of any player in the lead up to the 2024 draft, because wow. he was phenomenal during his ball skills at Michigan Pro Day. And then he ran about 15 routes because he's an outstanding, he's a former receiver, and he looked exceptional catching the ball. And then he just knocked it out of the park with his interview process. If you read my report from Michigan Pro Day, I said back then that, you know, teams have said he comes across as a genius. He comes across with his football intellect is off the charts. I have him right now as a late second, third rounder. He could go early part of round two. You know, I mean, the Chargers are sitting there at the top of round two. Chargers coach is Jim Harbaugh, who had great success with Sam Still. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes there. Andrew Phillips, I think, is the prototypical nickelback. I think he's a third round choice. A lot of people like him. He's a feisty guy. He's not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10 and a half, 190 pounds. But I think he will be a real good cornerback, a nickelback. And who was the other guy you asked me about?
Max Melton.
Yeah, it's funny because I just did a podcast with New York Giants, and they asked me about Max Melton. Max Melton's a bit of an enigma. I mean, he's tested well, and he showed ability. He tested well in the lead up to the draft. He flashed ability last year. If you go back and watch Max Melton, and I wrote about this at the time as a freshman, you thought he was a first-round prospect. He was that good early in his Rutgers career. But his career, his play has kind of leveled off. It's even regressed at points. So, you know, you don't know, are you going to be able to get Max Melton back to where he was 3 years ago and build upon that? You're looking at Max Melton as a size speed guy who's flashed ability, who you really have to have him take to the next level and consistently play to that level. If you do that, you got yourself an outstanding cornerback. But what I've seen the past couple of years from Melton, as someone who was very high on Melton 3 years ago, there's a lot of questions. I have my concerns about that.
Okay. A couple of more positions the Steelers might be interested in. Defensive tackle. Cam Hayward's getting a little older, and Larry Ogunjobi didn't exactly play well last year. I don't see them going first round for a defensive tackle, but maybe second round, a guy like, Mason Smith, a second round prospect in your eyes, or more of a third round guy? He's got the size.
I wouldn't draft Mason Smith until day three. There are some teams that have Mason Smith, a second round grade on Mason Smith. And if you go back 3 years ago, when it's freshman year at LSU, Mason Smith looked like a first-round prospect. Got injured in 2022. 2023, half the times he looked like he didn't even want to be on the field. I mean, there were just intensity issues I saw with Mason Smith where he played hard or he was easily blocked at the point of attack. He's got a lot of upside. Like I said, there are some teams that have a late second-round grade on him. Right now I'm looking at my board. I have a fourth round grade on him. I actually have his teammate, Mekhi Wingo, rated ahead of him, primarily because I don't think he played up to his ability. I think he should have been a much better player at LSU, especially last year, than what he showed.
A couple of guys, Braden Fisk has had a great offseason, let's say. Yeah. He's tested well, interviewed well. Him and Chris Jenkins from Michigan, what are your thoughts on them? Do they last a 50?
Braden Fisk has had a lot more than just a great offseason. I mean, he was a terrific player at Western Michigan. Then he transferred to Florida State, and he played lights out this year. Played absolutely lights out. He's a terrific football player and a good athlete. Problem with Braden Fisk is 6'3 and a half, 292 pounds. His playing weight was probably closer to 280 pounds. So how does he fit, or does he fit in that Steelers system? He does have a bit of an injury history in the past, which has to be checked out. Chris Jenkins, bigger, 6'2 and a half, 299 pounds. Real good athlete. Tested well in the postseason. The problem with Jenkins is it's the opposite of Braden Fisk. Braden Fisk played beyond his level of ability, overachieved throughout most of his college career, where Chris Jenkins just showed flashes. You never got that high level of consistent play from Chris Jenkins, although last year he did suffer from a high ankle sprain, which kind of hurt his development. I also think he was hurt by the fact that Mazi Smith was no longer there, commanding double and triple teams in the middle of that Michigan line. A lot of upside with Chris Jenkins. I think Jenkins is a better fit for the Steelers system, but you're going to have to take him around two.
A couple more names. Rook Arororo. I have trouble with that name. Seems like a Steelers type guy. He's tall, big, long arms. What are your thoughts on Rook Arororo?
Yeah, I like him too. If you can't pronounce his name, forget about me trying to pronounce it.
I've been practicing, buddy. It's tough.
I think he's undervalued. I think he's going to be underdrafted. I have him as a late second round pick, but I could see him going late third round, maybe even fourth round. But I am in agreement with you. 6'4 and a half, 294 pounds, ran 4.89 at the combine. He's got tremendous upside. He's another guy that's flashed ability, although they had a lot of players over the past couple of years on that Clemson defensive line, so he wasn't asked to do all that much. I think he's a guy who is going to be underdrafted and is a solid player now, but if he continues to improve and builds upon, you know, what he's shown and reaches his level of potential, he could be a terrific defensive lineman in either a four-man front or a three-man front in a year or two.
All right, one last guy on the defensive line. Gabe Hall is kind of a later round guy. I've seen him all over the board. He, again, tall, long arms, kind of a Steelers guy. What are your thoughts on Gabe Hall?
My thoughts on Gabe Hall are very simple. It looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. I mean, if you watched him, I mean, his testing numbers were really good. He looks the part. He was great in one-on-ones during the Senior Bowl, yet the production's not there. He disappears in games. At times, he looks like once he's blocked, he stays blocked. He was never as dominant at Baylor as he should have been. I have Gabe Hall right now. Now, Gabe Hall entered the season as a potential late first, early second round pick. I mean, you look at the production numbers. They were garbage in the Big 12. I have him right now as a free agent. He's one of those guys that has never lived up to expectations.
Oh, you have him as a free agent, really? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, again, six.
No, I get it.
291 pounds. Let's look real quick at Gabe Hall's production. And I know that production, you know, is not the end all or come on, the stupid thing. I know that, you know, production is got to be a piece of the puzzle there. But, you know, you look at him last year. Okay, here we go. Gabe Hall stats last year. He had 18 tackles, two sacks. The prior year, he had 36 tackles, 4.5 sacks. I mean, that doesn't scream anything. But and when you look at the body, you know, the athleticism, the size and everything else, something's wrong there. And again, I go back to the Senior Bowl where he showed flashes in one-on-one, but would disappear when they went full scrimmage.
All right, one last position group, and I'll let you go. And I appreciate you doing this for me. Linebacker. The Steelers signed Patrick Queen, so we don't think the need is that great, but they keep bringing guys in. They're doing a lot of work on linebackers. I don't think there's a first round. Do you have a first round grade on any linebacker? Maybe Peyton Wilson?
Well, no. Peyton Wilson is a first round player, but he's a.
The injuries, right?
Is late round. Yeah. So, I mean, I have a second, third round grade on Peyton Wilson. He could go second round. He could end up in the fifth round, depending on how teams, look medicals at his medicals.
Yep. How about two guys in particular, Edgerrin Cooper and Junior Colson?
Yeah, those are my in the reverse order. I have Junior Colson as the number one linebacker. Edgerrin Cooper is number two. Cooper could eventually be selected over Colson. I mean, Colson is a big, tough run defending linebacker at Michigan, who showed a lot of ability in coverage, excellent sideline-to-sideline skills, plays hard, not work out at the combine, did not work out at the pro day. I don't know that they've got any testing numbers on Junior Colson, although he plays fast. I mean, he looks like a good athlete on the field. Edgerrin Cooper is a lot smaller, 6'2", 230 pounds. Edgerrin Cooper does everything very well. He was a terrific pass rusher at Texas A&M, real good run defender, showed a lot of ability in coverage, really has a three-down game, 6'2", 230 pounds. Does he fit every system, and where is he going to play at the next level? Or what type of scheme do you put him in the next level? I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a real good player on Sunday. I think both of those guys are second-round picks.
All right, my last two guys, Trevin Wallace and Cedric Gray. Steelers linebacker coach was at both those pro days. What are your thoughts on both of those guys?
I am a very big Trevin Wallace guy. I had 6'1", 237 pounds, ran 4.51 at the combine, and he plays that fast, that athletic on the field. He is a tough, nasty, punch-in-the-face type of linebacker. I like his skills against the run. Some teams have said, well, we're concerned about the instincts. I don't see that as an issue. I don't see a guy like overrunning plays or misreading plays. I think he's a third round type of prospect. I have him actually graded just ahead of Cedric Gray, 6'1 and a half, 234 pounds, 4.64 in the 40. Not the biggest guy in the world, not the fastest guy in the world. But if you watch North Carolina, he was constantly in the right position, making plays on the football, good instincts, excellent ability reading and diagnosing plays. I think both of those guys are third-round picks who can play on Sunday.
Awesome stuff as usual, Tony. Any other Steelers stuff that you've heard that you want to share with us? Yeah, when you say something, boy, you get Steelers Twitter going. I got to give you that.
Well, there you go. I mean, listen, they laughed at me when I said when I said the receiver was on its way out, and look what happened there.
Exactly.
Deontay Johnson, not Quentin Johnson.
Deontay Johnson. Yep.
Nothing yet. I mean, whatever I have will eventually will be on SportsKeep, reported on SportsKeep, and I'm sure will eventually make its way to the internet. But I just said, read the story. Don't take it into context. Well, read the story. Well, there goes my camera. You see, I get all upset about that.
That happens a ton, and not just to you, to everybody. You just take the nugget you like and run with it.
That's it.
The heck with the rest of it. All right, you can find Tony on X at Tony Pauline. He's at SportsKeeta. He's their draft analyst. Tony, again, great stuff as always. Steelers fans love your stuff. We love having you on. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, and good luck in the draft.
Thank you very much, Tony.